T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Let it rip. Call the Fan at 877-337-6666. Powered by Superbook Sports. Visit superbook.com.
Welcome back to the Fan. My name is Danielle McCartan. Her name is Alex Jaimo. She is the star of the Netflix show King of Collectibles. You got to turn your mic on there, Alex. She joins right here in the studio. Hey, all right, Alex. So welcome to the Fan. We'll get you to tour a little bit later.
Danielle, first time on the radio, man. Thanks for having me, baby girl.
You're welcome. All right, so King of Collectibles, if you haven't seen it. And by the way, keep the phone calls coming as well, because we're going to be answering this. This is not just an interview with me and Alex. Like, we're going to be taking your calls, like when Madeline Burke comes on.
Call me, baby.
And 877-337-6666. Paulie Rosenberg is taking your calls. There he is. Look at him. All right. So, Alex, for anybody who has not seen King of Collectibles, I know I've watched every single episode. I'll be honest, though, the last 10 minutes of the last one, I haven't yet gotten to. But
I forgive you. I'm not in that in the 10 minutes, so it's okay.
How would you describe it to someone who has not yet seen it?
So if you don't know what the hobby is basically, you know, a grand scheme word that describes, you know, sort of a group, a club that collects sports cards, collectibles, memorabilia, you know, game-used items. And it doesn't have to be sports, right? It's history, it's culture, it's music, it is what it is. It's everything. And behind these items, there's stories behind them, which is why I got into it. You know, my entire point of joining the hobby and making a career out of it was bridging the gap between traditional broadcast sports media, right, and the hobby, because there are so many incredible stories behind these game-used items, okay? So the show is basically about Ken Golden, who owns Golden Auctions, which is one of the leading auction houses in the world, sports cards, memorabilia, all that jazz, down in South Jersey. And it follows Ken and his crew and his team, who sell these items and cards for millions upon millions of dollars, and also for, you know, a couple hundred bucks. And I am the host, and I am the narrator. You will hear my voice telling the story, which I'm most proud of. I don't know. It's pretty awesome. If you haven't seen it, give it a shot. It's a family-oriented show, too. Like, any age can watch.
And it's quick, too. They're like 29 minutes each, right?
Oh, yeah. It's quick. It was too quick. Like, one of the negatives about the show is everyone keeps saying we need more episodes. We only had 6, so hopefully season 2 we get 8 to 10.
Yeah. So there is a season 2.
Not yet, but, you know, Netflix takes forever, dude. They make you wait. They make you wait. It's like a date that goes well, but you don't know, and then you don't hear from them for, like, another 3 or 4 days.
Oh.
That's where we're at.
So we're in the waiting period.
Yeah, I mean, we were number 9 in the country. We were number 9 on the globe after only 48 hours, less than 48 hours. Right. We were even bigger internationally. UK, Australia, Spain, Portugal. Like London is huge. It was amazing, too. A lot of my new followers are international.
Oh, so you're going to have to learn how to speak Italian now?
You know, a little bit, un poquito. I know that's Spanish.
Come on, Alex. In which ways do you wish the show would expand?
Season 2, baby.
Obviously, but in season 2, like, what do you want to see more of?
I want to see more average Joe, Josephina collectors, like myself, like you, who cannot afford. I mean, I don't know what you make, Danielle. You're a radio superstar.
Oh, yeah.
But I know I can.
You're a Netflix star.
who collect, you know, just for the love of the game.
Yeah.
One of my favorite movies. For nostalgia purposes. Yeah. I mean, you obviously saw my Beanie Baby collection.
You had me looking through my own Beanie Babies.
Everyone I know is asking. It's so annoying, but also endearing at the same time.
Yeah.
What's my collection worth? What do you value it
as? Well, you got to meet with the doctor lady.
Dr. Lori, baby. Oh, yeah. It's kind of ridiculous.
Yeah. I was looking through all my Beanie Babies, I'll be honest with you. But I wish that they would work in more like the Pokemon cards, too. Me and my brother, we have all of them.
Oh, I need to come see your collection.
Oh, well, you know what? About that, I have to find it, number one. We got into an argument over this last time we talked. But I made a trade one day, and I'll regret it for the rest of my life, I'm sure. But I made we had a Charizard card.
Yes.
And I traded it to a kid across the street. And I went home into the house, and my brother's like, what did you do? You traded Charizard for what?
For what?
I forgot. It wasn't good, though. It wasn't good.
You don't trade Charizard for anyone, honey.
I know. Now I know that. Oh, and my God. The kid across the street, you know what he did to the card just to make sure, like, we wouldn't want it back? He took a rock and scratched the Charizard card.
I'm not allowed to curse, but oh, my God. Are you kidding me?
I know. We got it back, though.
If it was a first edition Charizard first edition Charizards. But a lot of us, you know, the hobby has a different lingo and a different language that I've learned over the course of the last 2 years. Mm-hmm. This card needs to be graded. If it gets a 10, it's worth, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Well, it's not
But the chances are, because we played with them. Yeah. I was 8 years, I don't know how old you were, I'm not going to age you, but I was 8, 9 years old in 1998.
10. Yeah.
Right. So I played with my cards, you know, like I played, you know, I didn't play with Barbies, I played with G.I. Joes. But that's what it was for.
Yeah.
And you know, the same thing with my father's vintage baseball collection. Like, his stuff isn't in mint condition, and he doesn't understand why his Tom Seaver rookie card isn't worth $200,000 like the other guys.
Yeah.
He's like, but it's the same card. I'm like, but Daddy, that's not how it works.
Right.
There are so many intricacies that go into grading a card.
And you taught yourself all that, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I taught myself everything during COVID. Podcasting, listening to people like you who know what they're talking about, listen to experts. And I'm still not an expert. I learn on the fly. And I think that's why I was such a good choice for narrator on the show.
Right.
Because I have a voice and a language that can identify with somebody who is a hobby novice, a newbie, and a hobby expert.
Yeah.
And I know how to sort of bridge the gap between them and put it sort of, I don't want to say dumbed down, but put it into layman terms so that most of us can understand what it means.
Right.
You know?
I don't know. That's like to just jump into something like that. That's, I don't know. It's brave. I don't know.
It sort of saved my life in a way, Danielle. I mean, I've been in, you know, I was working for the Mets. In 2019, COVID happened, lost my job. I was from the NBA, lost my job. I was done. I was like, I'm done. I want to work smarter, not harder. I went to Syracuse University for journalism school. I worked for the New York Jets as their team reporter. I did everything the right way. But I was like, I'm sick of this. What else can I do? I want to be, you know, this is New York. This is the mecca of media. And I was like, instead of being a small fish in a big pond, why not become the expert in a small pond? So that's where I'm here. And like, God bless the hobby.
Now, like, what do you do? Like, all right, so it's the Netflix show, but like, what else has come off of that?
I now work for Major League Baseball Network.
I was going to ask about that.
Which is so funny because my first job out of Syracuse was I was a baseball logger. I would log baseball games until 3, 4 o'clock in the morning. And, you know, I was a broadcast associate. I was, you know, a grunt, essentially. It was tough. And then I went to Iowa. I was a one-man band journalist there, and I've been all over.
Did you go to the Field of Dreams?
I did not.
What?
Because it's a digital age now, and they don't want to pay me to go to Iowa. They want to pay me to sit at my desk right here in Hoboken, New Jersey, or New York City, you know, to stream from there. And I did. I hosted the event for MLB on Twitch, but at my office.
I'm confused.
Yeah. So, but anyway.
You worked in Iowa.
But, babe, that was like 10 years ago. That was like one of my first jobs.
Oh, because it was
Field of Dreams was like only 2 years ago.
I got it.
So, yeah. So, long story short, I worked for all these companies. I started with MLB Network, and now I'm back there, which is really nostalgic to me. And I'm one of the hosts of a show called Carded, which is dedicated to just talking about baseball cards. And I love my family and my friends, but they thought I was absolutely insane. Like, yes, everyone loves baseball cards, but like, you're not going to make a living off it. People love it. It's nostalgic to us. There are stories behind them. We all are a collector in some sort of way.
Right.
We all collect different things. You know, not to be sexist or anything, men mostly collect sports. Me and you are women. We also collect sports. But a lot of women collect handbags. They collect shoes, red bottoms. They collect anything. And it's all the same. If you think about it, it's all the same thing. And that's what I love about our show, because it brought in women. It brought in a younger demographic, because it wasn't just sports.
Right.
You know?
You had the Beanie Babies, the Pokemon cards.
Oh, thinking about Michael Jackson items. Oh, you had Madonna items. We had Declaration of Independence. We had presidential hair.
Yeah, that was weird.
Yeah. Oh, so weird. Disgusting. You know, on Golden, on Ken Golden's, you know, auction site, we once sold like Andre the Giant's jockstrap for a lot of money.
And
like disgusting. But people buy that stuff.
Paul, what would you buy?
Paul?
So I used to be into sports trading cards. I also used to be into Beanie Babies when I was a kid. I had like three or four like of the Princess Diana Purple Bear things and a few of the other ones that are on eBay from anywhere from like 25 cents to like $250,000. And they're the exact same Beanie Baby. And no one just knows how to price them.
Well, I can tell you why.
Yeah, because of the... go ahead, Alex. You tell him.
So, Paul, I can give you a little schooling here, right? I have 17 Princess Diana bears, but... it depends on the PVC versus PE pellets, like in the belly. Depends on how they fall. Obviously, the tag condition depends on that as well. But on eBay, I know how to use eBay now, right? Like, you have to check certain boxes on eBay, just like in, like on Hinge, on a dating profile. You have to, like, this is what I want, this is what I don't want. So on eBay, if you're selling anything, and for anyone that's listening, if you want to sell any item on eBay, you gotta check completed items and sold items to get a gauge of what it's actually worth. Because anyone can list any item from toenails to Beanie Babies for thousands and hundreds of thousands to zero. And it's impossible to really to get a read on what it is unless you check those boxes. Now, I will say this one thing. There is a rumor, and I've heard this from Dr. Lori. She was on the show, that sometimes Beanie Babies are used to transport drugs. And I would assume other things. So you really have to do your due diligence and research.
Okay, that's fine. And I appreciate it.
You weren't expecting that answer.
No, no. But, like, I just don't know, like, if the hobby that I used to do, and I used, this is, like, from, you know, beginning of 2000s to, like, 2000, like, 5, 6, 7, at a ton of, like, Jordan autographs. I have a Jordan, like, autographed jersey, autographed ball.
Wait, you do?
Yeah.
Is it a game used jersey?
No, okay. it's not game.
So not worth as much, but still cool.
Right, still cool, and it's one of the, but it's such a weird thing, because obviously the Jordan prices went nuts during The Last Dance, like, during COVID. Oh. Like, those prices went, like, you know, obviously through the roof, but now they're kind of, like, lowering a little bit, so it's very... you know, it's very hit or miss, the hobby on eBay. And the Beanie Baby thing specifically, because there's so many different prices and gauges and all that stuff when it comes to the Princess Diana ones and the original, like, Lucky the Bear. And there's all these, like, you know, Benny the Bull and all these, like, ridiculous things that I used to know.
Yeah.
And, like, all of my friends just trashed them.
So, you know, what matters the most, Paul, about Beanie Babies, just in specifically, is time period of the calendar year.
Yeah.
So, for instance, Valentino, the bear, you know, the cuddly little white bear with the little heart, sells better in, you know, January, February because of Valentine's Day.
Right.
Garcia, you know, like, that's a good one. Garcia, depending on that, Princess Diana's death, it was her 25th anniversary of her death this coming year while we filmed. So some of her bears were going for a lot more than now they're going for, right? And also during COVID, a lot of these items, all collectibles, were, you know, 100x, and now they're all going down. But, you know, it's becoming more of a reality, and I like that better. Because it allows, you know, like I said earlier to you, Danielle, like the average person to get more involved. Like, you don't have to be a billionaire to be in the hobby.
And I know we have to go to break here, but really quickly, how do you get something like appraised? Like, if I have something at home and I'm like, this has got to be worth like $1 million. Not that I have that, but how and
so
where?
So I'll tell you a funny story. So like when I first got into the hobby, Paul, you'll think this is funny. 90s and 80s baseball cards. Everyone has them. For instance, my older brother had cartons of them, like from like 82 to 93, because my uncle would give him a box every year. So when I first got into the hobby, Danielle, I was looking to make a buck because I was broke. I lost all my jobs. It's like, how do I make money? And I said, oh my God, I found his collection. I was like, I'm going to be rich. But no, it's called the junk wax era. They made so many of those particular cards, so many of those copies. So even if you have a Ken Griffey Jr. card and it's a rookie, 1,000 other people have the same one. Mm. So the answer, the long story answer to your question is, how do you appraise them? You send them into, like, if it's, we're talking about a sports card.
Yeah.
If you send it into a company like a PSA or a Beckett or an SGC, it costs a lot of money. For instance, I just sent in 8 sports cards, 8 baseball cards. It cost me $450.
Just to send them in?
Just to send them in.
What?
And then you're not guaranteed on a 10, 9, 8. And you end up losing money, right? So it's a tricky little business, and I've lost a lot of money, but I will say that's the only way you really learn. You got to screw up first, right?
Yeah.
So
right.
Here I am.
All right, I'm Danielle McCartan, and we'll open this up to a little bit about the Jets. Because you know my feelings on the Jets this year, Super Bowl or bust. And we'll talk some realistic expectations for them with a former Jets team reporter, Alex Jaimo, here in studio. Call us up. 877-337-6666.
We're known for being polite, so we give you a chance to talk, too. Call the fan at 877-337-6666. Powered by Superbook Sports. Visit superbook.com.
Welcome back to The Fan. My name is Danielle McCartan, sitting right next to Alex Jaimo, who used to do some reporting, team reporting, for the New York Jets.
Well, that.
A long time ago. So listen, the Jets, for anybody right now, we haven't really talked a lot of football. We're going to inject some football into this program right now. And I see you, Tommy, on about Buck Showalter. We're getting to that in 1 second. But the Jets now have future first ballot Hall of Fame quarterback Aaron Rodgers on their roster. They've got rookies of the year on both sides of the ball from last season, offense and defense. They've shored up their offensive line in the draft a month ago. Alex, to me, and everybody listening knows pretty much my feelings on this, the 2023 New York Jets are Super Bowl or bust this season. Your thoughts?
I don't know, Danielle. It's so hard to say because I have a little PTSD from my time with the Jets, which, by the way, if you're listening, was in like 2016, 2017. So in perspective, that was Ryan Fitzpatrick's second year, the year he held out. And all those veteran guys were on the team. I think they went 5-11. But when's the last time the Jets made the playoffs, dude? 2010? 2010. No, it was longer than that. 13 years.
It's the longest drought, I think, in the NFL.
13 years. Mark Sanchez was the quarterback. Rex Ryan was the coach. It has been forever. So it's hard for me, as a former Jets reporter and as a Jets fan, to say, unless they win the Super Bowl, it's a complete sham of a season. Just because of that. It's been 13 years.
What? It's a new era. It's a new day.
But I'm with you. I mean, listen, Aaron Rodgers was the MVP, what, 2 seasons ago? He's one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. I would say besides Pat Mahomes, he might be the second best quarterback in the league. Am I wrong? Like, I don't know. That's my opinion.
Okay.
Jets' strength of schedule, like, right away is super, super tough.
Yeah.
They start off with a bang with the Bills.
Yeah.
If they win that, though, it's going to be absolute mayhem. I mean, I live in Hoboken, New Jersey, you guys, and, like, I go into my friend's pizza place, Mario's Pizza in Hoboken, and everyone's talking about the Jets. I walk down the street. I go to Starbucks. Everyone is talking about the Jets. You see Aaron Rodgers, Danielle, at the T-Swift concert, the first time he makes an appearance at MetLife Stadium. He's dancing a freaking Cruel Summer. He's loving life.
You sound like a real Swiftie over there.
Oh, he's a Swiftie. And I've been turned. But Aaron genuinely sounds like, he is excited to be a New York Jet. And that is awesome, because when have we ever said that? No one ever wants to be a New York Jet. No one. This is one of the best defenses in the league.
Yes.
I like Robert Saleh. I think this is Joe Douglas's make or break year. I think hopefully, you know, he did enough in the offseason, built up the offensive line. But yeah, you're right. Garrett Wilson, I think they can go play. So I'm gonna say AFC championship game. Unless they get there. I'm not going to say they need to win the Super Bowl. That's a lot.
What do you mean? There's no guarantee Rodgers is going to be back the year after that. That's why I say it's got to happen now.
You're getting greedy. But
what?
But listen, I hope so. I hope you're right. I hope you're right. But you also can't say a Jets fan base that has been starving for any sort of mediocrity. You can't say that a failure is making it to the AFC Championship. Maybe. It's going to be disappointing, but it is very, very difficult, Danielle, to win the Super Bowl. Okay,
I know.
Stop putting so much pressure on them.
What do you mean? Oh man, I just feel like it's so win now. They're just so win now with everything, all the moves that they made. It has to happen now, because there's no guarantee that Aaron Rodgers is going to play beyond that, and that's the window. There's the window, because you know Sauce Gardner is going to be asking for a lot of money. You know Garrett Wilson's going to be asking for a lot of money, and the time is now. The window is open right now.
Oh no!
So
I
to
completely
settle,
agree.
I don't know if they should be settling.
I'm not
for anything.
I don't listen. There's a reason why I'm still, you know, almost 34 years old and still single. I don't settle for anything, and neither should the Jets fans. But we have not seen, okay, a playoff berth in 13 years, Danielle.
So what?
Okay, all right. I know you're trying to swing for the fences.
That's what I do.
But, you know, I'm with you. They really should. Realistically, they should get there. I think it all kind of depends on the beginning. Like, they have probably the toughest schedule in the league. I think they only have a handful of 1 o'clock starts. And a lot of their games, unfortunately, are prime time.
Yeah,
and
there's
that's
two
not
Monday
good.
Nights. I looked at that yesterday.
Yeah, they play the Giants during the day, too. I want to go.
We should go.
Yeah, we definitely have to tailgate there. Right. That'll be so
All right, 877-337-6666. Your thoughts on the New York Jets, and maybe you're driving home from the Met game, and Buck Showalter has been quite underwhelming, I'd say, so far this season. Let's go to Tommy in New Hyde Park. You're up on the fan, Tommy.
How you doing, young ladies?
How are you?
Hi, Tommy.
I'm okay. You know, now you've got me want to talking about the Jets.
Okay. We can do both. Good.
Can I talk about the Jets?
Of course. Wait, Daniel, right. I'm sorry, I'm taking your job.
Our first, before week seven's a bye, right?
Oh, I got to pull it up.
I got them beating Buffalo at home.
Yeah.
We're going to Dallas. I got them beating Dallas on the road.
Yep.
Then I got them beating New England.
Correct.
And I lost against the Chiefs.
Yes.
And I think we win at Denver.
Correct. And then a loss at Philadelphia, I'd say. So 1, 2, 3, 4, and 2 going into the bye week seven.
Thank you. What do you think about that?
I think that's exactly what I said last week. Yes.
You did?
I did. Oh. Great minds. Oh. See that, Tommy? Great minds. Think alike.
Yes, we do. Thank you.
What do you think, Alex?
I don't know why you're saying loss automatically in Philly. Like, one, Philly's been dropping the ball. But it's definitely not a lock. I think it's sort of a lock because they're in Kansas City, right?
It's home against Kansas City.
Oh, it's in New Jersey.
On NBC. Sunday Night Football.
Oh, it's Sunday night. Wow, what a game.
Well, they have it here at 4:25, so I know they went to a lot of prime games.
Yeah, but Tommy, I feel like if they, what did you say, Daniel, 4-2?
Yeah, 4-2 at the bye week.
That's a big win. Yeah. If they go 4-2, because that strength of schedule is crazy.
Because after that, they got the Giants, the Chargers, the Raiders.
Chargers.
Yeah. And then they're in good shape, Tommy. Yeah. I'm with you. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, what do you think? Oh, and I wanted to talk about what you were talking about earlier about saving stuff. My mother threw out, I had...
Oh, no.
Oh, God.
Here it comes.
I had, like, such beautiful rookie cards from so many players, Joe Torre, Yogi Berra, and Mickey Mantle.
Yeah.
And when my mother and father moved to Florida, right? Now, I go, where's my cards? In the shoebox, like people did back then. You know, I'm 61 years old. And I'm like, well, Tommy, I thought it was junk, my mother says. I said, Mom! And I'm like, oh, my God, they're gone forever.
So she threw them out?
She threw them out.
Oh, man. Forgive her. Forgive her, though, Tommy. You have to forgive her.
Yeah, Tommy, you're not the only one. A lot of people say that to me. It haunts us all in our dreams. Me as well, I promise you.
Oh, no. No, I forgive her for that. But it is good to say things. You never know what you're going to get, you know?
That's
you never
right.
Know.
You never know,
Watch
Tommy.
My show, Tommy. King of Collectibles on Netflix.
That's Alex Gimo from King of Collectibles on Netflix. We are here for another half an hour or so right here on The Fan. Quick break. Pete McCarthy update.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Back with you at the top of the 6 p.m. hour.
Your official station to talk Giants. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app. Download it today.
Welcome back to The Fan. My name is Daniel McCartan. I'm here with Alex Gimo from King of Collectibles on Netflix. You having fun, Alex? You gotta turn the mic on. She's new at this.
Sorry, I work on TV. This is literally so much fun. You are such a baddie, girl. This is awesome. I can't believe you do this for hours at a time.
Oh, yeah.
You're so cool. I'm
going to
grow up and be like you.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Anyway, we're taking your calls, 877-337-6666 on the Jets, because Alex used to work for the New York Jets as the team reporter. But Alex, quickly on the world of collectibles here, real quick, how did you talked about getting into it during COVID. So what's the main story behind that?
The main story is I was so lonely and depressed during COVID. I needed something to occupy my mind, my brain. So I went downstairs to my grandmother's basement because I was living with her at the time because I was so broke as a joke. I couldn't afford, you know, rent in Manhattan. And I, you know, messed around with the Beanie Babies. I messed around with Barbies and Hess trucks and Legos. And then I fell in love with I grew up with a batting cage in my backyard. Baseball runs in my veins. So I, you know, screwed around my dad's vintage baseball card collection. We're talking like cool rookie stuff, like really cool. Like my dad's 65, so we're talking, you know, Mantle rookies, Willie Mays rookies, Seaver rookies. And I just like fell in love, right? Like I hadn't dated for years, but I sort of felt like I was dating these men on the cardboard because they didn't talk back to me. So it was a match made.
You talked about your dad's collectibles. Paul's laughing. What do you say your most prized collectible is right now?
Oh, that is such a tough one. I know we're in New York right now and I'm going to get a lot of flack for this, but I do have a game used David Ortiz Big Poppy jersey.
Right.
I'm so sorry.
All right, take your stuff and go.
I just interviewed him for MLB Network. Yeah. Whatever. Okay.
Yeah.
It's just like Derek Jeter.
Yeah.
No matter
right.
who
not
you
really.
Are, everyone loves him. You got to love Big Poppy.
Not really.
Come on.
Not around
he's
here.
A city.
Oh, my
no.
God. Stop.
So, yes, that's my favorite prized possession.
Well, that's good. Good for you.
Yeah. I love game used memorabilia. Cards are cool, but they're man-made. Like, there's sweat and blood in that thing. It's
like,
awesome.
Like the Jackie Robinson. Was that the coolest jersey that you've ever had your hand
Jackie on? Robinson, not only is a baseball legend, he's an American hero. And he wore that jersey every game in the 1953 season. Mm-hmm. Do you know how rare that is? That will never happen again.
Yeah.
These divas now change their jerseys three times a game.
What did that end up selling for?
Oh, God.
7.5.
Oh, you're putting me on the spot.
I think
here.
It was 7.5.
Yeah, it was that. But he wanted like 10, and it didn't go for 10. The reserve was like 10, and it didn't sell. But still, that's a lot. Still would have been the highest selling jersey of all time. So,
all right, so we go back to the calls. 877-337-6666. We go Richie in Queens. You're up next here on The Fan with Danielle and Alex.
Hey, Danielle. How are you?
And Alex.
And Alex. How are you, Alex?
Hi, Richie.
I just jumped on. What, Alex, are you on the show also on WFAN? She was with the Jets, I think, right?
Yes, she was. Yes.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Let me touch on the Jets real quick. You know, Daniel, we speak on occasion, and I think we spoke about a month ago. And I understand all the enthusiasm, having, you know, the Giants fan, getting Rodgers, obviously going to make them a lot better. The projections are so high. You know, they really are.
Mm-hmm.
I've been a real
That's
critic.
That's the Aaron Rodgers effect.
I think, yeah, and why not? I mean, it's the first time they've had somebody. I go back to Namath when they drafted him and John Hewitt and how things were going to turn around. And obviously what he did was incredible. But, you know, I've been a critic of him the last few years. I mean, he lost a big game at home against Detroit. He lost that game 2 years ago with Tampa Bay. He lost when the Niners came in. And he had three or four chances at the end of the game to win that game. He didn't. Is he the same guy? He's going to be one of the greatest. I've seen a lot of the greatest quarterbacks. I'm rating him that high. But the fact that, you know, it's almost like, I don't want to say Super Bowl or bust, but, yeah, they're going to get their wins, and I think they're going to be a competitive team. But they're up against the AFC, and there's a lot of good teams. So I'm interested to see how he handles it. And, again, they have to be better. If they had a quarterback last year, they would have had 9 wins.
They would have had 10
again,
wins.
We all,
oh, for sure.
Yeah. And, I've been a critic about the Mets. You know, it gets to a point where early is late. And, you know, it's 60 games into the year, okay? They are 30 and 30. There's 8 teams vying for 3 spots in wild cards. So, and it's incredible that, you know, how poor they're playing. Some teams that are, like, I'm a San Francisco Giants fan, they're 500. I'm thrilled. With the Mets being 500, it's really, really...
It's underwhelming, for
it's
sure.
It's really kind of underwhelming, and you've touched on it, and we both have. So I was on with Joe and Evan, big fans. I go way back with them. But I disagreed with them vehemently when they said, we don't really care about Lindor with his numbers. We don't really care about that. And, you know, and I'm thinking, what do you mean you don't care? He's got a 28% on base. he's got a 680 OPS. He was a guy that hit 285 and hit 30 homers a year. And you pay $33 million. If you wanted a guy to play it every day, get Dick Schofield. I'm dating myself. Who was a very good, Mark Belanger, who was a great defensive player. You didn't get him for that. And Buck has been underwhelming also. His comments are mind-boggling.
Yeah, I mean, that's it. These comments after the game don't placate anybody. It's like this gobbledygook of non-explanations, and that's what I think is most frustrating to Mets fans. And all right, let's go to Steve in Albany, New York. You're up on a fan.
Hi. I should actually call you the DNA show. But,
the DNA show. I like that.
DNA.
Wow.
Well,
that's creative.
I mean, you know, we need to do DA anyway in New York, and you guys could take over. Anyway.
I like you.
You like it. Good. I'm glad. My theory is this. You know, Buck is a manager, okay? If these guys are being paid the money, they're getting paid.
Correct.
And have the respect of playing for an owner who's willing to give you whatever you want, mm-hmm. for the fact that you come every day and give your heart,
right.
Okay? I don't think that's something Buck needs to do anything with. I think Buck is there to put together a lineup.
Well, that's the problem. Why are you batting Francisco Alvarez ninth day in and day out? What kind of lineup is that? Francisco Lindor is hitting .213 on the year. Why is he batting second every single game?
I'll tell you why. First of all, with Francisco, you want to keep the pressure low. This is a kid who's coming up. He's young. You don't want to put a lot of pressure.
I don't want to hear it. And if you're ready, you're ready.
How much money is he making a year?
Not a lot. He's a rookie.
Lindor.
Oh, Lindor, a lot.
I thought we were talking about Lindor.
No,
Lindor.
Francisco Alvarez.
Oh, Alvarez.
Hello?
Yes, Steve.
Okay. Now, Lindor is a different response totally because there's a man who's been paid a lot of money and he's not producing, okay?
And they keep now, and yet Buck Showalter, Steve, keeps putting him in the two spot, game in and game out. And today he was hitting third.
Okay, so the problem is this. I pay someone $35 million a year. I can't let him sit the punt because, you know, he...
Understood.
And
there's no backup shortstop on the team, let's be honest.
That's right. So he's got no competition. When this man seems to play with no competition, he plays like it. He just doesn't put out. And that's what I mean with love for a team. I think when I look at the people with love on the team, I think of Brandon Nimmo. You know,
I think of
Lonzo.
My favorite.
You know, I love those guys. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But the rest of them, to me, they're nothing more than, you know, just people that join the army and just play. And if they don't win, you know, they're mercenaries. If they don't win, they don't win. And I don't think no matter what Buck does, that he's going to be able to motivate those people. And the problem is the owners put a lot of money, tanked a lot of money into this.
Well, that's it, Steve. The owners paid a ton of money. I mean, the Max Scherzer and Justin Verlander combined make more money than the entire Tampa Bay Rays team.
That's sickening.
It's ridiculous. It's like $10 million more than the whole team combined. Mm-hmm. But to say that Buck's doing everything that he can to placate and figure out the situation, I mean, it's just... You have to have Alvarez hitting behind Alonso. I don't know what that is, like how hard that is to comprehend and understand.
He's not mixing and matching at all, right? Is that what you're saying?
Today, I saw the lineup he put out today. I was like, is this I thought it was like a parody account.
Yeah.
It's just no rhyme or reason to it. Let's go to E. Frank in Astoria. You're up next here on The Fan.
Yes. Good afternoon, Danielle. Nice to speak to you and Alex as well. I was just wondering, maybe you might have a little bit of insight on what the New York Jets are going to do following a new season with Aaron
Rodgers.
I think that, you know, I remember I was going through the internet and I saw some paraphernalia about Walt Michaels insulting Aaron Rodgers when he was a child, and I don't understand what that was about back then at Shea Stadium. But I do understand that...
E. Frank, I don't know what you're talking about here, but the question is that was on the call screen was Zach Wilson going to get any run this year? If Zach Wilson sees the field this year, the Jets are in major trouble because that means Aaron Rodgers is out.
Oh, man. Oof. I don't even think he's the backup, though.
I think he is.
Oh, God. Then they're in trouble.
Let me check this out. I'm pretty sure he is. Jets depth chart. Rodgers, Zach Wilson. Yeah, and then they got Tim Boyle and Chris Streveler.
Yeah, well, we'll see if he remains the backup.
He better.
He needs to earn that because he has not yet. So.
He better. Oof. Let's go to Mike in Dumont. Hey, Mike, what's going on?
Stanley put me on the radio. It's Mike GYN. You know who I am.
I know.
What's going on?
What's going on, Mike?
How's it going?
It's
me
going
and Danielle good. Went to high school together. Well,
what's up, man? Nice to meet you. I've heard a lot.
All right. If I hear another guy talk about the old timers and how they did this and did that, listen. This is these old timers couldn't even hit a ball by any of these players nowadays. So stop talking about these old timers and what they. And not for nothing, I say it on Sal's show all the time. Listen, you Giants fans. All I hear from you Giants fans is it's going to be Super Bowl or bust. Oh, Aaron Rodgers, this. Oh, you got all these players. You should do this. Just worry about your own team. You don't hear us Jets fans calling in, talking crap about Saquon. You don't hear us talking crap about Danielle Jones. We don't talk about your line or your defense. So why don't you worry about the Giants and worry about what you have to do? And as Jets fans, we'll worry about what we have to do. And if we don't make it to the Super Bowl this year, it's not a bust. It's our first year together. We got him. He's only 38 years old. And Tom Brady won his last Super Bowl at 42. And if you think about it, anything, he liked it. It was something that rejuvenated him. He said this is a challenge.
Yes.
This is something that's doing something good for him. And it's good for the Jets. It's waking us up. And another thing, Danielle, you know I'm a Yankee fan. But, you know, my dad's a Mets fan, so I watch everything. I watch everything sports. I don't think I watch tennis. Anything that's sports on, if there's anything else on, I don't watch it. And, you know, with the Mets is, I don't think it's bucking. And I know that what you're saying is, I understand what you're saying about with his lineup, but we have to take Vogelbach in.
All right, Mike, you're dropping off there, Mike. I'm sorry about that. But, I mean, the Mets, they're not hitting. Okay, no matter what the manager does, the manager's not on the field in the batter's box. I understand that, right? I mean, that's a pretty easy concept.
Oh, yeah.
But I
think the bats will pick up. I really do.
Lindor's a slow starter. He's a career slow starter. So, all right, give him another month. He'll heat up. But for now, they just got to, you know, weather the storm for now. It is what it is.
I mean, what? They're only 5 games back. It's like, let's calm down.
Yeah, they're 5 games out of the lead in the NL.
Yes. Right. And like, let's chill. Like, that's not that much in the grand scheme of things. And they've been horrible to start. So if they put their, you know, stuff together, it's a good sign.
All right. To Warren, New Jersey. Rob, you're up next here on The Fan.
Hi, Danielle. How are you?
I'm great. How are you? Alex is here, too.
I'm good. How are you, Alex?
What's up, man?
But, all right, I had a question, or a couple questions, actually. So my first one is, do you think Anthony Volpe is going to be the next Derek Jeter? And also...
Uh-oh, Rob, we lost you on the also there,
that
Rob.
That was a great question, too.
I don't know what happened there. I didn't do it. You saw Mike. I didn't do it.
No, we didn't cut him off.
Is Anthony Volpe the next Derek Jeter? The day he got called up, I was sitting literally in this chair. The day he got called up. And I tempered everybody's expectations. Like, dude, he's a 21-year-old kid. Let's not put that expectation on him just yet. He plays the same position of him. He grew up idolizing him. All that.
Oh, he's a Jersey boy. He's Italian. Right. It's meant to be. Like, let's pop the brakes. Yeah. Derek Jeter is one of the best shortstops to ever play the game. And not even about his athletic ability. Like, he's sort of like a baseball god. Everyone knows, like I said to you earlier, even if you're not a Yankee fan, everyone respects Derek Jeter. So it was an incredible amount of pressure to put on this young man's shoulders. And he is struggling right now. He is struggling. But that doesn't mean he's a bust. Like, he can come out of it.
Right. All the callers say, send him to AAA. You're not sending him to AAA. You're just not. Not yet. Anyway, Mickey Mantle, they sent him down July 15th, 1951. Yeah. Give him at least until July 15th. Let's see what it is in another month. Yeah. If he's still hitting terribly, we make a change.
How's he fielding?
Not great.
Dang.
Not great.
Oof, okay. Well, that's important as a shortstop. So.
All right, we got to go real quick here, Mitch. If you can keep this short, you're on. Mitch in East Windsor.
Hi, how are you doing? Thanks for the call. Two things. Alonzo, he's been a runner for MVP. And who retires first, LeBron or Aaron Rodgers? I know I didn't tell Connor that, but I don't know what you think.
That's a great question. I say Aaron Rodgers because LeBron wants to play with Bronny. That's my thought.
Yeah, I think so too. LeBron, yeah. He's holding out for his son to come up. Yeah,
and it's football is a lot harder on your body, in my opinion. Even though he's a quarterback and they're babied, but we'll see.
Don't breathe on him too hard. Just like LeBron James, don't breathe on him too hard.
Exactly.
But will Pete Alonso win MVP? I think was the first question. I think so. Yeah. I mean, he leads the league in home runs. I mean,
and he's such a good guy.
Well, that doesn't win you MVP.
I know, but I root for good people, and he's one of them.
He is.
You know? So, let's go Polar Bear.
Yeah, and look at the jersey behind you. Pete Alonso signed jersey over there.
He's a big boy. It's a big jersey.
I don't think that was his. That's not game used.
You could fit five of me in there.
It's got a tag on it. It's not game used. My mom wanted me to tell you before we go here, Alex, that when we were little, my dad used to rake the leaves in the backyard into like a football field. And one time he came home with like lime and we made like lines.
You
and we used to play.
Were you Becky Icebox?
I was like, for Halloween. I was Becky.
Oh, I can totally see it.
This past October, I was Becky.
So many Becky vibes, babe.
I bought a Giants authentic helmet. Which I also got signed, by the way, by a couple of Giants. I'll tell you later. But I went all out for that costume.
I love it.
Very proud of it.
Hi, Mama McCartan. You should be very proud of your girl. She's awesome.
Oh, man. All right. Well, thanks, Alex. And that, I think, does it for today for us. So if you missed any portion of today's show, just hit that Odyssey Rewind feature and select the start of the show, which is all the way back till 2 p.m. Thanks for hanging with me over the past 4.5 hours and Alex for the last hour or so. Alex, thanks so much. I mean, you're welcome.
I miss you already.
You're welcome back anytime. Did you have fun?
That was so much fun. Good. I don't want to go back to TV.
All right. Well, thanks to Paul Rosenberg behind the glass and Pete McCarthy on the updates.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.